So good afternoon, almost evening, and I'm going to ask for everybody to move up closer, and I'm going to guilt trip you into doing it. You can see there's a height differential here, and we can't get the mic to adjust, so we probably will have to speak without the mic. So please, everybody, move up closer to us. So I'm Karen Pierce. For 13 years, I was the program director of the San Francisco Department of Public Health's EJ program, Environmental Justice Program, that focused on Bayview Hunters Point. The Bayview Hunters Point community is actually two distinct neighborhoods, and it is the historically black community in San Francisco. It's located in the southeast center of the city, and has approximately 35,000 residents. We're going to give you just a little more of the background on the neighborhood to help you understand why the neighborhood is considered an environmental justice community. Okay. More than 50% of the land in Bayview Hunters Point is used for industrial purposes. The area was zoned industrial from the inception of zoning in the city of San Francisco, and residential uses grew up in that area at the same time and at the same rate as industrial activities. So, in fact, there's a lot of problems with conflicts in the activities that go on in the neighborhood as a result of the mixture of the activities. More than one-third of the hazardous materials sites in the city of San Francisco are located in Bayview Hunters Point, and it is home to a federal Superfund site, over 100 brownfield sites, the sewage plant that processes 80% of the city's water sewage. It has most of the warehousing in San Francisco, and my colleague Maya will introduce herself, and she'll give you a few more points about the neighborhood.
Hi, my name is Maya Yoshida Cervantes, and I interned with Karen and doing the toxic tour. These photos basically show the neighborhood of Bayview Hunters Point in different areas, and where the primary focus of the tour that she shows is basically showing the area where the residents are exposed to diesel and other hazardous emissions surrounding the neighborhood. And as you can see on the bottom right corner, you can see how close the house is, overlooking one of the last power plants in the city and looking out in the ports where there's San Francisco Municipal Asphalt Plants, the NorCal Waste Collection Corp that Karen was previously talking about. And here on this other slide, it also shows kind of a panoramic view of Bayview Hunters Point, where most of the industries are located, and where the neighborhood is separated by two main freeways that are consistently heavy with traffic and with heavy diesel emissions from the industries surrounding it, which includes the San Francisco Produce Market, which distributes produce all over the Bay Area, diesel truck and bus yards, as well as the U.S. Postal Distribution Center and the water, as well as auto shops and taxi car, highway patrol car yards, as well as taxi cab yards. Is there anything you want to add?
No, just that gives a general overview, and I hope it makes it evident why Bayview Hunters Point is the environmental justice community in the city of San Francisco. Okay. So our toxic tours are designed to help develop community advocacy for environmental justice in the neighborhood. Through the department's environmental justice program, which was known as Bayview Hunters Point Health and Environmental Assessment Program, or HEAP, and it was a partnership with community residents, nonprofit organizations, various learning institutions, and interested stakeholders, including folks from state government. We designed a toxic tour, which is an interactive 3-hour mobile tour of the neighborhood. designed to educate medical health providers, public health practitioners, and residents on potential health challenges living in the kind of community this kind of community can pose. Okay. The reason why we felt that this was necessary was because we realized that there were a lot of people that knew about the problems in the neighborhood, but no one had the full overview. And so it was actually at the urging of UCSF providers that we put this together. Okay. So the as we move through, what we're going to really talk about is the benefits of having this kind of program rather than the exact mechanics of the program. As I said, it's a mobile workshop, and we go through the neighborhood and visit sites that, oh no, they're not. We visit sites, sorry about this. I need to look at my cheat sheet over here. We look at sites that show the impact of living in such a neighborhood presented through a lens of environmental justice, public health, and community perspectives. We have some photos of some of the sites. The one in particular is the...
Can't back up on the slides. Ah, fabulous.
No, we want to go forward. These are photographs of the former power plant that was shut down as a result of community activism. So you see the power plant, you see it being dismantled, you see the area right across the pond from the power plant that has become a park, and there's now a structure on that property, which is the Eco Center. It's an environmental classroom providing learning opportunities and meeting opportunities, and it is the first building in San Francisco that is 100% off the grid. I skipped something from you, didn't I?
No, you didn't.
Oh, okay. So the benefits to having this kind of tour include for the community the training to learn how to advocate successfully. Obviously, we actually wound up shutting down two power plants over the course of 15 years. Getting a better understanding of the environmental impacts in the community and encouraging people to become actively involved in fighting for environmental health activities in the neighborhood, as well as cleanup of the neighborhood. The benefits to the medical learners include, once again, getting supplemental information and education that you cannot learn in a classroom, getting an understanding of the attitudes and the expectations, as well as the feelings that community members have, especially if they are going to become patients, so that providers have an understanding that becomes cultural competence when actually providing health services, and opportunities to also be involved, learn how to be supportive of community, and to see firsthand the impact of the social determinants of health in a community.
And as far as the interactive tour for the public health employees and learners, it's not focused through necessarily the public health lens, but through the lens of residents from firsthand experience. And that way, learners and as well as employees can apply their knowledge on community programs through a more culturally competent and collaborative approach. So,
oh, and so yeah. These are photographs showing mainly the facilities of some of the partners in our toxic tour.
And as you can see, San Francisco General Hospital, the Southeast Health Center in Bayview Hunters Point, and UCSF.
So how can the tours be adapted? The tours are conducted in an environmental justice approach, and toxic tours are given in communities like Bayview Hunters Point all around the world. There are two basic principles. The tour must be designed and led by a community resident, and the research to develop the tours must be conducted using a community-based participatory action model, because the ultimate outcome is that we have activists who are ready and willing to support community in addressing public health issues.
And for more information on ongoing community toxic tours, you can contact the Black Coalition on AIDS. And we're free to answer any questions if you guys have any.
Well, we learned a lot about power plants. I know much more than I ever wanted to know. Okay, number one, a power plant doesn't provide power to the specific community that it's in. It feeds into a grid. Okay, most power plants employ maybe 3 to 10 people, so it's not a big employer. Yeah, yeah. Lots of people used to get employed to build power plants because they were huge buildings. Now, most power plants are basically a jet engine, and you can put them in a building on an empty lot anywhere. No, these were natural gas and diesel burning plants, okay? Well, these were huge because the one that we showed was 75 years old, and so it was a huge plant. Took up more than a square block, but it still had only about 7 people working there. So you just need someone to make sure the switch stays on is basically what you need. So from an economic perspective, losing the power plant was not losing jobs or anything like that. The other thing is PG&E wanted to close down this power plant because it was not making money for them because it was so old and unreliable. There was a sister plant that was right across the creek, and we succeeded in closing that one down as well. The same scenario as far as employment, but that plant wanted to stay active, and community members, along with a number of experts, were able to gain the knowledge to show that the second power plant wasn't needed for reliability on the grid either. And that's how we got them closed down. Yes?
Question with regard to the, well, congratulations on your accomplishments. The question is with regard to your depot center. So are there concerns about, you know, the remaining contaminants perhaps in soil, and then are you looking at using that as an educational center for sort of different plants that might, you know, help remediate the soil?
This is another great story, okay? So the Eco Center is actually located on landfill that belongs to the San Francisco Port, and it was an abandoned site that they were going to build a pier on. So during the period of time when the activists were really pushing hard to get that first power plant shut down, there was a youth group that was part of SLUG, the San Francisco League of Urban Gardeners, that wanted to go out and see the site. And they went out and they saw it and they said, hey, you know, we need to clean up this space because it's right on the bay and we'd like to build a wetlands here. So that group was called and is called Literacy for Environmental Justice, also known as LEDGE. LEDGE went to the port and negotiated and got the port to find some funding to clean up the park area on the other side of the pond from the power plant, and they started stewarding the land. And there are the bay is getting cleaned up, the wetlands are taking. They have a small garden right there that is generating native plants. They're planting native plants on that. Well, the port also, once it cleaned up, it capped the landfill and then put in 3 feet of clean soils to protect anybody who's using it. So they are planting on there. They have developed another, an off-site nursery where they are propagating enough native plants that they're actually selling them to other park activities, including the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. The building is used for a number of trainings. The way they steward the park, which is called Heron's Head Park, I'm sorry, I never named it. Heron's Head Park is mainly stewarded through middle school and high school programs coordinated by LEDGE, where classes come out and do cleanup, plant plants, go to the nursery, and learn about the environment and about how to nurture wetlands. You know, it has gone over, it's been over 10 years now, and it has gone from being a toxic tour to a toxic tour looking at the successes. There's no doubt about that. Thank you for your, yeah, that is the way we end the tour. Thank you for your attention.